Hey, it's Rosalie Contrite, host of This Catholic Life podcast and author of ContriteCatholic.com. I'm so happy to be here again. I missed you all. I know all three of my listeners missed me. That'd be my mom, my grandma, and Mariano, my husband. So, thank you. I'll be there at dinner. 5. And I want chicken soup. I'm serious. All right, for today, we have Haley Stewart of Carrots for Michaelmas, who will be with us a little later in the show. And this woman, she is my spirit animal. Like, I love her so much. I am about to become her biggest fan, like swim fan level. No, I'm just kidding. I won't do that, I promise, but I do. Everybody needs to go check her out. I'm sure you all know who she is. She is the author of CarrotsForMichaelmas.com, and we will have more information and chat with her later in the show. What I want to talk about with you guys before that is my new favorite show for men. I can't stop myself from listening to it, so I needed to talk about it. And it is called The Catholic Man Show. And it's with Adam Minahan and David Niles. I always swap their last names or make them one person. I'll make them Adam Niles or David Minahan. Maybe that's like their superhero name when they have synergy power. But this is like the best show. I can't even tell you. They always review a man beverage, which I find really interesting. It'll be like a scotch or a beer, and they really get into it. They talk about the flavor on the nose, the aftertaste. They're super manly awesome. They recently had their first guest, Timothy Putnam, who is the host of Outside the Walls radio show, and also he has nfpaware.com, I think. I'll link that in the show notes if I'm incorrect. And I'm sure Timothy will tell me. So I apologize, Timothy, if I'm wrong. But these guys are just so refreshing. They're frank. They're guys who talk about NFP, who talk about living the faith, who talk about things that are important, but in a real and unpolished way. And I listen to it with my husband, and it's become something that we do together, and he loves it. I highly recommend it if you're looking for a couples activity, something where you can listen to it together or separately even and come together to talk about it. That gives you something to talk about that's not the kids, not work. And we are actually going to be collaborating the Catholic Man Show and This Catholic Life. I was inspired to write about authentic masculinity, which I really think is something that's really become less prevalent today and even looked down on. And I think that the loss of masculinity is causing a lot of problems. And I will get into that in my post and also in the show with these two guys sometime down the road. But until then, just stick with me and in the next segment, we'll be back with Haley.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Hey, everybody. It's Rosalie Contrite, host of This Catholic Life podcast. And I am here with Haley Stewart of Carrots for Michaelmas. And I know so many of you are excited for this. So, Haley, if we could start off, could you just give a brief summary of your faith journey?
Sure. I was raised Protestant Christian in the South, in a strong Christian home. And I guess my family kind of bounced around to, I don't want to say bounced around because that sounds like flippant, but moved to different churches within our town. So by the time I got to college, I'd probably been in like 6 different churches. And then in college, I guess it was really all of the material I was reading. We read a lot of the early church fathers, and all the way up through the reformers. And so a lot of that was really impactful. I'd kind of been drawn to the Catholic Church for a long time, but it wasn't until some of those intellectual questions were answered in college that I really felt comfortable pursuing the Catholic faith. And at the same time, my husband and I were in the same program, so we were reading a lot of the same things, and that kind of, we were kind of on that journey together, so kind of encountering those texts at the same time and encountering those questions. So we were received into the church after our first child was born, just after college.
That's so awesome. And so you guys joined at the same time?
We did.
That's wonderful. Because I talk to a lot of people, and usually that isn't the case, that people come in at the same time. So that's really wonderful. Somebody wanted me to ask you to tell about your blog name. Where does that come from?
So the blog is called Carrots for Michaelmas. And when we started wanting to bring our Catholic faith into our home, we were still in RCIA, and we started trying to bring the liturgical year into our family meals. And so the first feast that we kind of tried to celebrate was Michaelmas on September 29th. So it's a feast of the archangels, feast of St. Michael, and all the Jane Austen novels, they call it Michaelmas. So it's like the old-timey name for it. And one of the things that people would have for Michaelmas is carrots, so that we just kind of, that's what I called the blog, because we were just starting it to kind of document our journey with the liturgical year, and then it kind of stuck, and now Carrots kind of stands for Anne of Green Gables too, which is my other obsession, so it kind of works, but nobody knows how to pronounce it.
Okay, this was my guess. I had a guess about how, and I thought because you homestead and because carrots are harvested around Michaelmas, that's what I thought it was. So I didn't get it right. But could you tell me a little bit about your farm? Because you guys lead a pretty interesting life.
Yeah, well, it isn't our farm. But a year ago, my husband started a 13-month internship on a farm in Central Texas. So it's actually a nonprofit training farm. So they have interns and live-in volunteers and train interns in produce or livestock or like local education. We have a really cool program called the Veggie Van, where the Waco, where we live, is a lot of the parts of the city are called, it's technically a food desert, which means that you can't really walk to a grocery store. It's hard to get to a grocery store. So you've got these little corner stores in the poorer areas of town that have really expensive items that aren't very good for you. And that's kind of where people are getting their groceries. So the Veggie Van goes around, it's like a little mobile grocery store. So they do all sorts of little things like that locally, and then train people to do sustainable agriculture in the States or overseas. So it is a faith-based nonprofit. And we're kind of wrapping up our, which has been fun. So we live on the farm. It's a community living. And yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
That's amazing. Now, I think I heard, it might be from Jen Fulweiler, that the farm is flush-free. Is that correct?
It is a no-flush farm.
Is that?
So that means that all of our toilets are compost toilets. So you go and then you put sawdust on top so it doesn't get smelly and go about your business. But then someone has to like empty them out, which is not super fun.
Yeah, don't want that task. Was it hard to adjust to?
No, not really. Especially when you know you're not going to be there forever. It's just like, oh yeah, I can do this for a year. And it was easy because we were just coming off of a 7-week-long road trip around the country where we did tons of primitive camping. So it was like, oh, it's just kind of like we're camping, but just primitive living.
That's just fascinating to me. I like it though, because you're like sustainable all around. But what I really wanted you to talk about is liturgical living, which is kind of your niche, and what you could share with me and listeners about living the faith.
Absolutely. Well, I think that was one of the facets of Catholicism that Daniel and I were really drawn to, because it brings the faith into time, into your calendar, and into your home, and just into daily life in a special way. And we kind of grew up with Christmas and Easter and 4th of July. Like, these are like the days that will be acknowledged at church. It's Christmas, or it's Easter Sunday, or it's 4th of July, and we're going to sing God Bless America. And so encountering the liturgical year and just how rich it is and how beautiful it is was really fascinating and attractive to us, and something we really wanted to incorporate into our home and with our kids. And so experiencing that just brings a lot of richness and family tradition, just brings a lot of Catholic culture into the home that you can share with other Catholic families and participate in this culture that's not just your country and not just other countries, but throughout time. You know, we're connecting to Catholics from the past, and it's just so exciting and fun, and just brings a lot of significance to your family traditions when that becomes part of your family culture.
Do you have any favorite feast days?
Yeah, of course, we really like to do Michaelmas. We're just special because it was our first one. So we always do either, you're supposed to have roast goose, but we've only had a goose one time because it's hard to find, hard to track down geese most times. So usually we do like a roast chicken or a turkey, and it's September 29th, so like all the fall vegetables are coming into season, and it's almost like a kickoff for fall, which is fun. So the kids always really like that one, and we always do St. Patrick's Day, and then we kind of try to incorporate different kind of foods in Advent and Lent, kind of make it more simple, do a lot of soups and slow cooker meals, just so that there will be a distinct change between what Advent feels like, and then it's Christmas and we're making all the fun stuff and eating all the things we like. And then same with Lent, where it's kind of like, yeah, we're doing lots of soups and lentils and rice and that sort of thing. And then it's Easter and we're making all the bacon and all the fun stuff. So I think Michaelmas is kind of our one that we go all, our weird one, our unusual one that we go all out on. And then usually there'll just be a few that it's like, oh, it's a week where things aren't as crazy. Who's on the calendar this week? Let's just go nuts for St. Francis de Sales or whoever it is, and kind of make that a tradition. And then once you do it once, your kids will remind you every year, and they will remember everything about it, and you'll never get away with skipping it. So that's kind of fun too. Now my kids always want to pull out all of the Advent stuff, and my son loves covering up all the crosses and crucifixes with purple cloth at the end of Lent, like for Passion Week. And so now it's like I don't even have to be in charge anymore because they're like running with it, which is nice.
Do you have any activities in liturgical living, like one or two, that really jump out at you as unique that you love to do?
Oh, I don't know, like, about uniqueness. Trying to think of things that jump out at me. During Advent's probably my favorite season, just because it feels like you're starting all over and you're meditating on, like, such beautiful things, getting ready for Christmas. It's just a fun time of year. This is not unique at all, but I just love doing Advent candles. And we usually have them on our dinner table, and we'll light them every night for dinner. And we'll sing, there's a hymn called O Come Divine Messiah. And it's a beautiful Advent song. And so we taught it to the kids. We kind of just all learned it together. So we'll sing that as we light the candles, and then pray the St. Andrew Christmas Novena. And I feel like when I think about doing the liturgical year, that's like what always comes to mind is like a beautiful, it gets dark early. So you're lighting the candles and it's dark outside. It just really feels like Advent. I'm trying to think of any like more random saints that we really like to celebrate. There is a saint, I'm trying to remember, his feast day is in August, but I can't remember which day. It's Saint Raymond Nonnatus. So he, have you ever seen Call the Midwife?
I have not.
Okay, so it's a show about Anglican nuns who are midwives, and it's called Nonnatus House. It's named after him. So he's a saint that was actually born via C-section. Wait, am I getting that right, or am I getting him mixed up with Saint Gerard? No, I think that's right. And he was just an awesome saint that was, I forget how to describe it, but he would like go and free slaves by buying back their freedom. So we'd like raise money and then go and free slaves. But he's the saint for midwives and for birth and for C-sections and like a bunch of other birth related things. And Daniel cooks this really good, really good meal with, it's called chicken piccata. And so not to be confused with chicken piccata, but it's like almonds and chocolate. It's almost like a mole sauce. And it's just so good. So it's like garlic and almonds and chocolate sauce. And he does chicken with rice and it's just the best thing. So kind of a fun random saint. And random way to celebrate it. But it's, I think that Daniel looked up like his hometown and like what kind of foods are popular from where he lived.
That's a really good idea. Even if there's nothing like known for the feast day, you could look where they're mm-hmm. from and just make something. Now, you have a few books that you've written on liturgical living. Is that correct?
We do. We have a couple of like ebook, well, one of them is in print, and the other one is just an ebook. But they're recipes and just kind of, the first one just had a lot of like introductory reflections on the liturgical year, kind of as we were, because we didn't grow up with this at all. So as we were discovering it, we wanted to kind of put it all in one place for ourselves and also kind of put together something that we would have wanted starting this out, because it can be really overwhelming. There's so many saints, and of course nobody can celebrate all of them, but you wonder like, well, how many am I supposed to do? Like 2 a month, 3 a month, I don't know. And so just learning a little bit about the saints, learning about what each season's main things are, why we have them. So it's reflections and introduction and then a bunch of recipes that, mostly Daniel put together because he's the good cook in the family. I have like my 5 things I can cook well. And otherwise Daniel cooks. The kids are always like, oh, are you cooking dinner, Mom? Okay, where's Dad? So they're mostly Daniel's recipes, which are always really good. And we have some that are like, here's an Advent recipe, here's a Lent recipe, here's Easter, Christmas. And then a lot of the other ones are saints and some more less well-known saints from that we just thought were neat, and trying to either look into their like what's traditional to have on their feast day, or like you said, you can't really find anything. Well, you know, what do people eat from where they're from, or what do people eat from places in the world that are really devoted to them? Like the Philippines are, I think I'm getting this right. I need to reread my book. the Philippines are devoted to St. Rose of Lima, where, you know, she wasn't Filipino, but there is strong devotion to her there. And so it'd be fun to make something from the Philippines to celebrate her and remember that there are people who are really devoted to her there and kind of connect with them. So there's a lot of different ways to do that. But I also never want people to feel like, well, I'm not a good cook, so I can't do the liturgical year, because there's just not one way to do it. And Like, I'm not a great cook. I can get my way around, you know, I know my way around the kitchen enough to make edible meals. But Daniel, for Daniel, it's like his art. He's it's life-giving for him. It's energizing and therapeutic and fun. For me, it's not really like that. And so I really like to read books with my kids. And so I love to get, like, picture books about the saints and read them on their feast day and just snuggle on the couch and read books. Like, that's what is life-giving to me with the liturgical year. So I think that everyone has to just think about, what is our family culture like? What are we good at? What's our thing? And bring the liturgical year into that and not feel like, well, it has to look like the liturgical year at so-and-so's house, because it just doesn't.
You're giving me a lot of hope, because I got a book. I cannot think of the title for the life of me. It was like Cooking with the Saints Throughout the Year or something like that.
I have that one. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. It's like hardback.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Kind of like a coffee table book. And there's actually another one that came out recently I saw, and it's like the Vatican Cookbook or something like that.
Yes.
But a lot of those recipes are quite foreign to me, different. I make them and it's just, I botch them. It's terrible. We have to get takeout. And so I'm like, I can't do this liturgical living. But it sounds like you have advice and that you can relate to maybe not being able to bring the perfect meals. Now, if someone like myself is looking for your manual or your liturgical living book, how can we get a hold of it?
If you go to my website, go to carrotsformichaelmas.com, and we can probably pop that link in the show notes, but there is a tab that says Our Book Feast. So you can just click there, or you can go to carrotsformichaelmas.com/r-book, and you can find it there too. So you can get either the e-version of Feast or the follow-up that has just more recipes called More Feast. Or you can get the print version of Feast. I for cookbooks, I feel like a lot of people want to have the print version just so you can stick it next to all your cookbooks and pull it out and get butter all over the pages and whatever it is that happens. You know, I always want to have my cookbooks in my hand. But I know exactly what you mean. And Daniel will kind of, like, he'll get out some of those books, like Cooking with the Saints, as like his research for what he wants to make and like to get ideas. But a lot of those recipes are overwhelming to me. I make sure that the recipes were things you could make for weekday dinner. And most of what we could find online when we would, you know, Google how to celebrate St. John the Evangelist Day or whatever it was, most of what would come up is, here's a cake with an eagle on the top, or, you know, here's cupcakes, or my kids are allergic to gluten, so they can't really have that anyway unless I do grueling gluten-free baking, which is the bane of my existence. But also, we didn't want it to be like, well, every night of the week that we want to celebrate anyone, we're having cake or we're having dessert or some, like, involved thing. We wanted it to be something that families could just have for dinner. You have to make dinner anyway, so why not just celebrate a saint while you're making dinner? Just to make it easier and something that you could do more often without it being like, we're having cake every night, or, you know, we're having something every night because my kids go crazy when they have sugar, which is why my husband and I wait till they go to sleep to get out our ice cream bowls. So that's another thing we kind of wanted to keep in mind, because there's just a lot of dessert recipes out there. And like in that Cooking in the Saints book, there's beautiful desserts, but I'm not going to tackle those on like a Tuesday night.
Yes, exactly. And your husband has a website too, correct?
He does. His blog, since we've been at the farm, he's been too busy to really do much writing. But he does have a blog called Daniel Bearman. So it's, you can just search for Daniel Bearman, or it's daniel-bearman.com.
So should we send all the men to that? It sounds like a manly website.
I think it's pretty manly. I mean, he's into, like, gardening. I guess that's manly. There's a lot of gardening, ultra-marathoning. He's a runner, so he writes about that. But yeah, he's a great writer.
I'll have to recommend it. Do you know there's a new podcast and it's called The Catholic Man Show? Have you heard of it? Oh my gosh. They're amazing. It's these two guys, Adam Minahan and David Niles, and they have, like, they rate a drink and they talk about, like, man topics every time. Anyways, I'm going to tell them that they need to have him on about that because that sounds like their kind of thing. But the one thing I wanted to talk about with you before we wrap up, and this is totally out in left field, but when I first saw you, like, on your blog, there's that picture of you, and I can see, you know, you've got the fun lipstick, and you guys can't see her right now, but she has retro glasses that are amazing, and these little turquoise earrings. But the thing that I related to you, I was like, I have tattoos. I have a huge tattoo of the coat of arms of the Holy See, and I saw that you have tattoos as well, and I just felt like I don't have to be a specific type of person to be a holy Catholic. And I think that's something you bring to the table, whether you're trying to or not.
Oh, I know what you mean, because I converted in my 20s. You know, I was 25 when I was received into the church. And we didn't really know any Catholics at the time. Like, they had to, like, rustle up a sponsor for us because we didn't know anyone. So I think our sponsor's name was Mike, but we, like, saw him twice because we didn't know anyone. And so while we were thinking about, you know, going through this process of discerning whether we were going to convert, I felt like, well, like, can I be a Catholic mom? Like, is that, like, what does a Catholic mom look like? Like, what does a Catholic family look like? I don't really know because I don't know any Catholics. And so I went to the blogosphere because that's where you go for information. We go to the internet. We're millennials. And I just started reading these Catholic mom blogs. And on the one hand, they were really awesome, wonderful, holy women. And I feel like I learned about the liturgical year and I learned about domestic church and all these wonderful things. But in some ways, I felt like, oh, okay, well, is that, like, exactly what I need to be like? Like, should I be concerned about wearing pants? Do I need, you know, just like things. I think I was in this one little niche of the blogosphere. And I think it took me maybe 3 years of being a Catholic to realize, like, oh, there's lots of ways to be a Catholic woman, and they're all holy things, you know, that God has made each of us uniquely, like, beautifully unique. And when we look at the saints, I think it's really the saints that helped me understand this, is they are so diverse. They are so different. You have Saint Joan of Arc, who was a military leader in a time where no woman could do that job. And it was just shocking. Or wear pants. And she, yeah. And she, you know, she wore man's clothes. And it was all, like, hugely scandalous. And she was a saint. And so you have St. Joan of Arc, you have St. Hildegard von Bingen, you know, she's really cool nun who is, like, a brilliant, like, polymath and intellectual. And then you have St. Zelie Martin, who is amazing and, you know, mother of at least one saint. And she, you know, couldn't breastfeed, and she was a working mom, and she's St. Therese's mom, and there's St. Therese, and she's a nun, and she's so precious, and, you know, just, they're so different in personality and in lifestyle, and they're all reflecting the glory of God. And I think it was the saints that helped me feel more comfortable being myself, not meaning, like, well, I just am the sort of person who gossips all the time. So I'll, you know, of course, like, we all have flaws that God doesn't want us to stay the same, but he did make us in a special way, and we don't have to change that. We need to turn from our sin, but we don't have to change the way God made us. And so I think it took me a long time to feel comfortable with being a Catholic woman the way I am and not the way someone else is.
That's fantastic. You need to write a book on this topic. Like, just being you, it's okay. I remember when I converted from atheism, and when I was looking into the church, I saw all these wonderful holy women and their perfect dresses, and they did not have tattoos, and I was like, well, that's not really going to be something I can get rid of, you know? So, and I have, of course, expanded upon what I had since I came in. But someone was joking with me, and they said, well, there are no patron saints of tattoos, so you'll have to do that. And I was like, I think Haley Stewart's probably a little bit better candidate than I am. There isn't one, right?
I don't know. We should look it up. I know. I mean, it's interesting. I think that, and I don't want to get, like, too far into tattoo tangent, but...
Please do.
Okay. So we're going to go on a tattoo tangent. I keep meaning to write a blog post, but I don't want to offend people. I don't really want to, like, stir the pot with this because it just, I don't think it's that big a deal. But I see so much negative things about tattoos and Christians having tattoos that sometimes I'm just like, oh, okay, guys. You know, it just seems so much a American, maybe even primarily baby boomer generation cultural thing, cultural taboo. This is not a moral thing, unless, of course, you're getting a tattoo of something terrible, you know, like that's against what we believe. Of course, like that is obviously problematic, but there are parts of the world where people are Christians and this is just not even a topic anybody would bring up, would think to have a problem with, because it's culturally just fine. And it's interesting, in Texas, moving from Florida to Texas, it's so much more, it's so much less taboo in Mexican culture that it's just not so much a thing. It's not so much an issue as it was in, like, the Southeast. It seems more taboo. And so it's just one of those things where I'm like, folks, this is just not a big deal. Like, it's just not a big enough issue to throw a fit over. And this is exactly why the Catholic Church doesn't make a statement on it.
Yeah.
Because it, we have, as Catholics, we have a lot of freedom. I think I always hear about Catholics have so many rules about stuff. And I'm like, yeah, we do have a lot of rules. But those rules also give us boundaries so that we have so much freedom. There's so many things that the church leaves open to us to discern it individually. And I think tattoos are one of those things and just not anything to get so worked up about. But anyhow.
Oh, you're my new favorite person. I feel that way. And I've actually gone to, like, some homeschool events or, like, Catholic events and been like, I shouldn't go because they're going to see the tattoo that I have on my leg. Or because I've really been shying. There are people in those, in that baby boomer generation who really aren't okay with it. And I had somebody tell me in Deuteronomy that it's, you know, outright banned, to which I had to say, well, it says that if you wear braids, you're a harlot.
Right next to where it says that men can't shave their beards and you can't eat red meat. Or
right.
Like, you can't eat raw, rare meat.
Well, and I looked
so
into
it's like,
it.
Are we taking those things as seriously?
I looked into it, and what they're actually saying is that they didn't want people to tattoo because what they were tattooing with was the cremains of their relatives to keep them with them. So that was actually, even if it were still, you know, held today, it was more about putting the dead in the ground than the tattoo. So that's really
interesting
too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. As a lot of people hadn't heard that. But anyways, thank you so much for coming by. I could just
Absolutely.
Talk to you all day. Oh my gosh.
This is fun.
Yes. Yes. I would love to meet you someday, but you are a bit away from me.
Where are you based?
I am near Chicago.
Okay. Gotcha. So we were there last summer. We drove through and stayed with some friends on our road trip. So it's such a fun part of the country.
Yes. But before you go, I just wanted to check and see with you if there's anything new and fabulous going to happen with your family, any books, events, anything going on in the future.
Okay. Trying to think of anything fabulous. Well, we are wrapping up our time at the farm. We bought a house in Waco. So we are excited to be sticking around Central Texas, which we love. And Daniel's in the process of job hunting. We've got like 2 or 3 months before we have to have have him have a job that isn't this internship. So that's coming up. I just released an ebook on discerning big life changes as a married couple. So it's just like a 20-page ebook that has our story of moving from Florida to Texas and giving up our like 9-to-5 stable life to live on a no-flush farm. And then just kind of talking about how couples can really support their marriage and dream together and pursue their passions together and how that can work and things that can be complicated in a marriage. So that is recently out, and I can send you the link if you want to link to it in the show notes. And then Daniel and I will actually be talking in DC in the fall, probably mid-October. So we don't have a date nailed down, but we will be in the area and we have a couple of speaking events in the fall. So I'll try to put those up on my blog. I should have to have a little tab with like upcoming events. That's the sort of thing I'm a terrible blogger about, is like the little details. I need an assistant to like help me with details. So that's what's coming up for us.
You have assistants, little mini-me's.
That's true. I need to get them really great with WordPress.
Yes.
Our new homeschooling unit is WordPress 101.
And we're going to do Excel sheets. And here's how you run a shop. No.
This is a budget. How mom and dad with their weekly budget. Someday. Our oldest is 7.5. So we have 2 more years and then we can have him in Excel, maybe.
Yes. All right, well, thank you so much. And if you want to find Haley Stewart, if you check out carrotsformichaelmas.com, you'll find her there. So thank you for listening.
Redbox Media now is a great way for you to go deeper with your favorite show or shows in our programming lineup. With our Friend of the Show opportunity, you get extra exclusive content from your favorite show hosts and lots of extra love from the shows and hosts you love. Become a friend of the show by clicking on the link on our website or app menu. Your $10 monthly premium membership will unlock an exclusive world just for you. Support your favorite show today as a friend of the show. Friend of the Show premium memberships exclusively for you with Redbox Media.